Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Let me pray real quick. Lord Jesus, you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I ask for your intercession on behalf of this message. And Holy Spirit, have your way with us, within us, and around us, and lead us into the place of truth. God, I ask that you would, that we would increase in revelation as we would seek you more and more. And God, I know that we see in part, we don't have it all, but Lord, your word is so efficient. It's so essential. It's everything. It's the sword. It's the truth. It's you. And so, God, I ask that you would breathe upon your word today for those that are here. God, I ask that you would prepare them in this moment, that they would be like a sponge, that they would receive your word and know the times in which they're living and how to be free and how to live in victory. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Revelation chapter 2, starting with verse 18. I'm going to go there again. But this is the second part of a series. Well, I don't know if it's a series. Maybe it'll be a series. But it's the second part of speaking about the war between Elijah and Jezebel. And I spoke it a few weeks back, and I kind of wanted to do a follow-up on how to discern it and how to strategically deal with it and understand it. And when I say that, sometimes like, what in the world is he talking about? Because a lot of people don't understand this war that's being waged continuously in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We know that the victory we have completely, absolutely in Jesus. We know that. That's the power of freedom, the power of salvation, redemption. But in this nation and in this world, there is so much manipulation going on that we have to be so careful about how we walk out our lives in Christ. And we will always come back to the same place, that it is all about Jesus and will always be about Jesus. The Lord says, if you delight in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. He says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all things will be added on. He says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He tells us that in the world we're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because we have what? We've overcome the world through Christ. Last week, it was a time of encouragement, and I said that the number one export of the United States to the other nations is pornography. When I said that, it was pretty shocking. But I'm telling you that there is a battle that's being waged right now in people's lives, in men and women. And if we're not aware of it, because in most churches, you won't hear too many sermons about this issue. You won't hear many people talk about Babylon. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Babylon. In the Old Testament, Babylon was a people that worshipped a false god, and they're the ones that built the tower. And basically, Babylon is a system of pride and a system of making a name for yourself. Now, I want to ask you, if your whole mission is to make a name for yourself, you need God. Because it is not about making a name for yourself. You want to be known. No. As a Christian, as men and women of God, we want to be known for those that love him, that stand for him, and we desire to walk in his ways. That's what we want to be known for. We want to be known for Christ's likeness. We want to be known that we represent a God that is loving and caring, that forgives, but is also very powerful. And everything in this nation and around the globe is trying to get us to buy into something. And I cannot, as a man of God, I cannot not speak about these things, because I'm so concerned. I'm concerned about where we're going. I'm concerned about moms and dads, brothers and sisters. I'm concerned about the body of Christ. And I'm very careful, because God loves the church. He loves the church. And he's trying to draw the church into a place of intimacy.
And our God is an overcomer. And we are overcomers with him. But the pride of life and the pride of wanting to make a name for ourselves is totally of another system. And I bring up the point that when Peter, his first healing that took place, when it happened, he said, they were going to give him praise. And he said, what do you mean? It's not me. It's Jesus, the one you crucified, that did this. See, it has to be about Jesus today, tonight, tomorrow. It can't be about Jesus in a church service and then just go home and allow everything to have its way in your life. There is a place that we need to walk and reside in, the place of Christ, in the place of his word, in order to have victory. We should always be continually desiring to be more like him and less like us. That's just how it should be. You can't really be a good father if you don't know a good father. You can't really be a good mom if you don't know him. I remember my mom was the most strong, powerful woman. She cared for me more than anybody ever cared for me. She stood by me more than anybody stood by me. And I know that God allowed her to give me strength to make it through the days so that I could even stand here today. But it was because of Christ, of what he did in me, that I was able to lead my mom to Jesus. And in all her strength and how good she was and all her love, she didn't know him. And when she came to know him, everything shifted and changed. That's the answer. That's the plan. That's what we're all about. That's what we will always be about. I was encouraged this morning by someone that walked up to me and said, you know, I really appreciate that you guys always talk about the intimacy of Jesus. That you're always pointing to him. And that is encouraging to hear. But the fact is, why would we not always point to Jesus for everything? Where there's a problem, God makes a provision. And that's a promise from his word. That's a promise from him. When he says, you seek me, I'm going to take care of everything. When you're in a storm, like Eric was singing about, when you're in a storm and you're on the lake and it's a storm, you can know that he will calm the storm in your life if you allow him to. We got to shift. We got to keep shifting. There's another gear. Amen. There's another gear. There's always another gear in the Lord. You never arrive at a place and go, man, I'm here, man. No, you're always going deeper and deeper. Not to be prideful. No, you go deeper so that you can be more intimate and more at peace. And that God can use you in a great way to speak into people's lives. I remember driving an old semi-truck a long time ago, and it had 13 gears. And I remember jumping in that truck, and they said, it's got 13 gears. There's probably semis with more than that. I said, 13 gears? You know, like, I'll never learn how to do this. Because I didn't understand how it worked. Well, in the same way, if we don't understand Jesus, we don't understand that there's a lot more gears ahead of us if we'll just let him have his way. I can't get away from encouraging for some reason last week and this week. So back to the message. Well, the strategy against this spirit called Jezebel, which is a manipulating spirit, this spirit knows no gender. It's men and women, and it wants control more than anything. It wants to dominate and control things. And some of you know the story of Elijah and Jezebel in the Old Testament, where Elijah called out Jezebel and all the prophets of Baal, 850 prophets. And he said, we're going to set up two altars. This is for some of you that don't know. We're going to set up two altars. And we're going to put an ox on the altar. And you're going to let you guys, 850 prophets, you're going to pray for your God to bring fire to that altar. And we'll give you 12 hours to do it. And then it's going to be my turn. And many of you know the story. The story is that they cried out, they cut themselves, they did all kinds of crazy things for their God to show up. And Elijah started a little bit mocking them, And he never showed up, their God. And then, of course, Elijah called out to God, and he came down with fire. He not only consumed the oxen, but the wood and the stones and all the water that was around it. He consumed everything with his holy fire. And you would think at that moment that Elijah would be on cloud nine and ready to take on hell with a water pistol, but he wasn't. Matter of fact, a message came to him, sent from this Queen Jezebel, and she said that what you just did to the prophets is going to happen to you. And fear and discouragement fell on him, and after seeing this mighty work of God, he took off and he ran under a juniper tree. And the story goes on, and finally he was ministered to, and finally she met her demise. I won't go into the story. But then at the end of the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, it says that the spirit of Elijah is going to turn the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Why is that? Because that spirit of Elijah, what Elijah stood for was righteousness and repentance. And to walk in the favor and righteousness of God, to do right unto God. And so fathers and mothers are going to do right unto God, and it's going to draw their children to them. And they're going to do right before God. That's in the last Bible, the last book of the Old Testament. And then we go into the New Testament where John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah on him. And this spirit is transferable. We have the spirit of Christ within us. We all know that. That's hugely powerful in who we are. But that spirit of righteousness and repentance is going to fall upon the body of Christ. It fell upon John the Baptist, and that's what he preached, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And then, of course, Jesus said that if you can handle this, John is Elijah, because the spirit was on him. And then it goes to this last book of the Bible, Revelation, starting with verse 18, and we're going to read that real quick. This is very important to get this and to pin some of these things down and understand this, because this is what's waging war against us right now. It really is. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this." Verse 19, "I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than the first." Now that is a good thing. That's a compliment Jesus is giving to that church. It's a compliment. But look at verse 20. He says, "But I have this against you, that you tolerate, you allow, you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they may commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols." The church has a tendency of tolerating such things. And God wants us free. Jesus wants us free of these things. To know the atmosphere that you're in, or what's happening in our nation and across the globe, is very important, because then you can recognize it. And you might be able to recognize that spirit having its way with you, because that spirit will bring about exhaustion in your life. It will bring about you not desiring to live anymore. It will bring about all these things when that spirit has its way. And even speaking about it, unveiling or unmasking and showing and letting people know that this is prevalent in the church is huge. Because the enemy hates it. And so the first time that I spoke, there was a couple things that I shared. I'm going to share three things that kind of sums up the first time. Then I'm going to kind of sum it all up and do the second part. Number one is, you can't defeat the enemy just by prayer. Prayer is absolutely important and necessary. But to topple the spirit of Satan's empire and what he's trying to do, we must be transformed into Christ-likeness. And it goes right back to what I said earlier. If we don't become more like Christ, then we are not going to be able to deal with what's around us. We're not going to be able to deal with it. More like Christ, a life of hidden inward purity and walking in the authority of Jesus. When we begin to walk in that place of intimacy, when we begin to walk in that place, it's the right authority. We have the right authority. It's not a control thing or a weird thing. But we have the right authority when we walk in the place of purity and intimacy with Christ. We can stand against the darts of the enemy. When we walk in that place of purity with the Lord, He leads us into the place of renewal because He knows our heart. It says He searches our hearts and He finds what's in our hearts. And if you have the desire to follow God, He will draw you into that place of healing and renewal. He will bring it about. My wife and I were talking yesterday, and she brought up a point that was really, you know, because we talked about our journey and what we went through. We were talking about marriages and what marriages go through. And she just said that it was through your dad and I seeking Jesus first is how we got healed up so much in our marriage. And when she said that, it was like, because at the beginning, we didn't really have a lot of tools that we have now to help ourselves. But it was because in our marriage, both of us were seeking God, seeking Jesus, and to know Him more. And because we did that, it brought healing in our lives and in our marriage. Because that's just like Christ. That's what He does. And so He's always going to be the focus of everything that we do. If you're getting tired right now, shake yourself. Because you need not miss this. You know why I'm so passionate about this? Because I want to see a victorious bride. I want to see a victorious church walking in who she is and who she's called to be, an overcoming bride at the end of the age. And here's another thing. If you're wanting to get free of this stuff, you better be associated with some type of healing ministry. Because from the very beginning, and I'll say this across the board, from the very beginning with Pam Kyle that we just mentioned, the Kyles, how we did Theophostic and doing all the counseling we were doing, from the very beginning, there's always been healing attached to what we're doing. That was with Dave Raymer, London Chris Harwell. There's always been healing attached to what we're doing. So if you don't have healing available to you, I can't say thank Jesus enough for the men and women that labor in that area that I have gotten so much healing because men and women have said yes to being before the Lord and allowing men and women like you and I to hear truth from Jesus because they position our hearts and position us to receive renewal. I remember at the Horizon Center, I remember I got triggered. Anybody know what a trigger is? Come on now, it's trigger. I got triggered, and somebody triggered me. And man, all of a sudden, this rage come up inside of me. And I was like, oh my, what? I thought that was gone, okay? And I'm walking out, and God set me up. He set me up. And standing in the hallway was Jerry Reeder and Dave Raymer. And they could tell by the look on my face, they go, what's wrong with you? I said, nothing, man. You know, no, what's wrong? And I shared, something just happened, and I feel this rage. And they go, well, how does that make you feel? I said, I'm mad, you know. And so right in the hallway, I think Josh was there too. Were you there? Yeah, Josh was there. Right in the hallway, Dave starts taking me through counseling in front of everybody. Everybody's there. And here comes my junk, and my junk comes right to the surface. And in that moment, in front of everybody, because you know what? When you really desire healing, it doesn't matter who's around. And right in front of everybody, the Lord touches me and brings truth to that huge rage that was down deep. And we found it. And since then, since that moment, I haven't experienced that again. I still need more healing and counseling. But that has never come back again. And so it was kind of like God set me up. Now, are you willing? Can you ask the Lord right now, you know, Lord, will you set me up? See, some of you don't even want to do that because you know what it brings. Lord, will you set me up so I can get healed more? Will you set me up so my mind can get renewed more? Lord, I'm asking, I'm praying, set me up. Set me up. Or it's like, no, 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 no. And you shrink back into this little place, you know. I've learned to contend. I've learned to walk this out my way. I'm doing it my way, okay? And it's not your way. It's His way. And you can't do it your way. You know, if just across Michiana, the message would be, you can't do it your way, you can only do it God's way. You can't travel all these roads unless you travel what? The narrow road. and find. You can't go walk in a plan by traveling a bunch of roads that God has for you. You can only walk in the plan that God has for you when you choose the narrow road and the crucified life. And then you find where it is and who you're called to be and what he's going to do through you and in you and around you. See, he sees you, he hears you, and he knows you every minute of every day, every second. He knows you, he hears you. He knows your struggles. And this is like Christianity 101. But how often do we push that aside and still, you know, try to strong arm ourselves? I remember, you know, how many of you remember the phrase, you know, you need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and go on? How many remember that? Okay, I was told that several times in my life. You know, you need to just get over it. Well, guess what? That pain and that trial and that moment, if I would have pulled my bootstraps up, I would have just got myself once more picked back up and just trying to bull my way through life. But when I was in that place, I didn't realize Jesus wants to heal me. Jesus wants to speak to me. It's not about my self-will making myself strong again. It's about Christ being strong within me. And so don't be, come on, pull up your bootstraps and go on. God wants to crucify your bootstraps. That's a message right there. It's down the road. Crucify your bootstraps. People say, what? What do you talk about? But see, it all has to do with that. That's why this whole thing about what's raging in the earth right now. You can enjoy your family. You can enjoy the business or what you have in the Lord or how he's leading you. You can enjoy. You can have peace. But he's wanting to sift out all the control and wanting to sift out all the religion out of your life. I'll tell you, to the day that I go to be with him, it's all about Jesus, and it will always be about Jesus, and there's no other way. It's all about him. He will meet you in that morning. And you know what? He understands all the protectors you have around you. He understands all that. Because they're there. You're trying to protect yourself and protect what you're holding on to because it's how you function. And he wants all those protectors to come down so he can touch your heart. He can renew your mind. Everyone. I'm glad I still have time to be a dad. Because I think there's so much more to being a dad. You need to think about that. Moms, you need to think about that. There's so much more. Amen. The second thing in the first message was when you are standing for Jesus, you need to guard yourself against the fear and discouragement. It will distract you from your victory in Jesus. I think I just shared all that. The enemy is up to distracting you from your victory in Jesus. And so he will use fear and discouragement and many other things to try to distract you. It's all about distracting you from the truth. Number three was the spirit of Elijah is coming to war and restore, that God is raising up men and women to preach the gospel and prepare for the return of Jesus. I believe that with all my heart, that we are approaching that time. And that's why God is restoring a warring bride. And when I say warring, I mean intimacy. I mean Christ-likeness. So if you want to get that message, you can go online and you can listen to the podcast of that. And I kind of wanted to follow the message up with this here. Say, okay, what is Jezebel? What's going on here? Well, discerning the spirit of Jezebel, it's really a way of thinking that goes unchecked. It's a way of manipulating and thinking, and God wants to renew that. And like I said, most churches don't even, it's unchecked in most churches. People don't talk about this stuff. And the word tolerate, again, is key. What are you tolerating? Because you probably already know areas that you're tolerating in your life that's keeping you from purity and intimacy with Jesus. And if it's an ongoing thing, then God wants to heal you of that. Now, again, God's grace is sufficient for all sin. And we shouldn't be in the place, in the mud, where we can't even walk out what God has for us when we're struggling. Because God heals us. He restores us. And I can tell you this, the more you talk about Jesus and testify about him from your heart, the more freedom you get and the more strength you get to stand for Christ. It's when we back away from that and think that maybe I need to take some time before I walk these things out. No, I ask that you press in, that you run the race, keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, whom your faith depends, from the beginning of the race to the end of the race. It's a race. It's a marathon. You run. I take that back. It's a race that turns into a marathon. But it is a race. And the only way you make it in this race is by your eyes being fixed. To discern or to identify the source in our society, the spirit of Jezebel is obsessive. It has sensuality, unbridled witchcraft, hatred toward any male or female authority that's walking in the things of God. Hatred toward them. And this is what the name Jezebel means. The name Jezebel means without cohabitation. It means that it cannot cohabitate with anyone. That it always has to be in full absolute control. I'm giving you a little bit of discerning and understanding what this looks like. It refuses to live together or cohabitate with anyone. This spirit will not dwell with anyone unless it is in absolute dominant control of the relationship. And when this spirit takes on a servant's role, that I'm here to serve you, I'm here to do all these things, that is a backdoor way of getting in to manipulate so that it can control. Be careful of people that really are obsessed with flattery in your life. Be careful. Be careful if you're in any ministry or you're walking and somebody comes alongside and says, I'll do whatever. I just know I'm called to do whatever I can do for you. Be very careful, because that spirit wants to undermine and get into the place of leadership and distract and keep people away from their calling, their destiny. So be careful. So you got to discern this. You discern this spirit. That spirit is also to hinder repentance. To hinder repentance. To do everything it can to get people not focusing on the Word of God and Jesus. It would much rather have people caught up in religion than caught up in Jesus. Now, here's the thing, too, about discernment, and I think I've said it over and over. When we're set apart for the Lord, we can break its control. When we're set apart for the Lord, we can break its control. Where the enemy has inroads, discern even today, maybe. Some of you are sensing something. Discern. Ask the Lord for discernment of where the inroads are. And here's what I'm going to suggest. When you discern it and you know it, cut them off. Cut those roads off. And if you're in a place where you feel like you can't do that, then you need to go and get some counseling from godly counselors that will help and lead you so you can cut those things off and get in the place of freedom. Discern that. God will help you in the areas that you've tolerated that spirit. He's not against you. He's not mad at you. He's not condemning you. He wants to help you. I wrote this down: get free and set others free through the truth of Jesus. That's so simple. Get free and set others free through the truth of Jesus. The strategy I've said over and over against this spirit is inward purity and healing ministry, renewal. That the nature of Jesus is in our hearts. When that happens, it brings victory in our lives when our minds are renewed. Allowing the Holy Spirit to expose any area in your life. Asking like I said earlier, you know, asking, Holy Spirit, search me. Reveal these things to me. If you have a spirit of compromise and pride, or if you know people that are in a spirit of compromise and pride, which is rampant in our society today, you know that that spirit is at work. It's manipulating. It's wanting you to compromise. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It says, come out of the world. We're living way, way, way too much in the world. And God says, come out. And then we go back in with the light and the fire and the truth. If you can remember anything, remember this, that It's not about making a name for yourself. It's about exalting his name, Jesus. And I can't say that enough. If you have that in you, I want to make a name. I want to make my mark. Ask the Lord to help you where you make his mark, his name. He caused his name to be famous because of who you are. That doesn't mean that you don't want to do good and do well. There's great biblical scripture for all that, and having a God esteem instead of a self-esteem. There's all kinds of great stuff in there that you're overcomers and to advance the kingdom, and everybody has gifts and that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you know deep down inside your heart, between you and God, where you're still struggling with trying to make a name for yourself. And pride is lurking in that area. And you can find that in Genesis 11, verse 4, about in the it's a whole spirit of ambition. It's the spirit of Babylon and pride. Okay, I'm going to close this up here. What specifics do you take to be an overcomer? Real simple, I've said them probably 10 times. To choose to live a pure life. The simplicity and purity of our lives will be instrumental in binding the enemy in our lives. Healing and renewal of the mind. That's not another specific move. Allow God to begin healing. And just so you know, in this ministry, we don't think anyone arrives and they're fully, absolutely living in a 100% renewed mind. We will. There's a day coming. We will. When we see him and we become what? Like him in that moment, like him. But until then, we're in process. And pride says that, you know, I'm okay. No. Ask God to sift you. You know, what is it? Psalm 139, search me, O Lord, know my heart. Search me. This is the last thing, specific things that you need to know. Jesus has a plan. Jesus is the answer and the truth. And Jesus is the one who has set us free. Period. Period. Okay, I'm going to read out of a book to close this out. And I usually don't do this, but I just found this so awesome. Before I do, turn to Isaiah 42. Is everybody still okay? All right. Isaiah 42 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And I'm going to kind of lead into this here. What did I say? Verse 9? Was it verse 9 we start with? Okay. In Isaiah 42, starting with verse 9, and this is where we are. This is what's coming. Be encouraged. Behold, the former things have come to pass. This is the prophet Isaiah prophesying to us. Now I declare new things that are about ready to happen in your life. And in the globe, in the church. Before they spring up forth, though, I'm going to proclaim them to you. I'm going to let you in on it so that you can walk this out the way that I've called you to walk it out. I'm going to let you in on it. And then he says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. So the body of Christ at the end of the age begins to sing a song, and this is how we overcome this spirit too, through worship and praise. And the body of Christ begins to start singing. And I've said this, I love that verse because I pray that I get to be a part of that. That at the end of the age, the great harvest is happening and there's singing happening all over the earth. Everywhere. The body of Christ is rising up. And then verse 13, and it says, the Lord will go forth like a warrior. This is the second coming of Christ right here. The second coming of Christ. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry, and he will prevail against his enemies. Everything that's hindered love on the face of this planet, he will prevail against. everything that's hindered righteousness. You know, when you take the mark of 666, if people would take that mark, you know, that's it. They're done. There's no way out of that. People are going to be manipulated by the ways of the world and take that mark. And there's no salvation after you take that mark. None. And so at the end of the age, here he comes as the warring king. This is who I want to have on my side. This is who I want to be linked with. I don't want to do the last minute thing and say, oh, I'm in. You know, it's like, no, I want to stay in. And I want to keep growing. Now, this is from an author that I like very much, Pastor Francis Frangipane. That's quite a name. And I love what he writes here. Jesus, our warring king. And I think that it could be nothing more appropriate than to read this to you. Okay, class? All right. Jesus is not returning as the meek and mild lamb whom the world crucified. No, he's not coming again in that way. He's returning to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed. That's 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Within his saints first, he shall establish his rule in glory and be revealed in power. He is returning as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lamb returns to the earth, treading out the winepress of fierce wrath of God, Revelations 19:15. Speaking through the prophet, which is Isaiah 42, the Holy Spirit says, the Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. And the question that the author said, do you hear the war cry our king is raising? That war cry is a war cry of freedom, of intimacy, of knowing him. That's the war cry of knowing his word, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel. It is the call to put away all of our idols in Babylon. So what idols do you have? What do you need to put away? You know, I think it's just a weak way sometimes when people say, it's all about do's and don'ts. You know, I got my freedom. I think that's just so weak. Because when you think of what he did for us, and we can't walk this thing out for him, with the Holy Spirit living within us, there has to be a continuation of yes in our hearts always. Amen? I mean, we can't, you know, shrink back and say no. Uh-uh. Man, all for Jesus. All for Jesus, everyone in this room. So to put away the idols of Babylon and approach the hour of destiny with zeal and willing obedience to Jesus. As it is written, I love this. This is in Psalm 110, verse 3. As it is written, thy people will volunteer freely in the day of thy power. Especially as we approach the end of the age, it is essential we understand that God's purpose is to conform us into the image of his Son. We are to grow up in all aspects of the Holy One, even he who is the captain of the hosts. As you enter into the administration of the victory of Jesus Christ, what was once a walk filled with blindness and darkness will now become a walk of vision and light. That's what I pray for us, a walk of vision and light. Your words will declare God's purpose, and his purpose will empower your words. Let me say that again. That's a pinner. You can pin that one down. It says, your words will declare God's purpose and promises. I'll add that in. Declare God's purpose, and his purpose will empower your words. Woo! Come on! That was your cue, man. Sorry. All right. I love him. Your words will declare God's purpose, and his purpose will empower your words. You will rejoice as you see the Spirit of God. You will rejoice. Why don't you stand, and let's just pray. Lord, I know... that the words that have been spoken this morning could be embraced or just fall on deaf ears. I ask God that you would open our eyes and open our ears. that this would be a time that we would know that we first and foremost are called to exalt you and worship you in this earth. God, today, we renounce the things that are trying to take us away from you. Today we stand firm in you. God, every illusion, every comfort and pleasure that tries to pull us away, God, help us to see it for what it is and help the commitment that we have in our hearts to you to grow. God, I ask that you bring healing to every man and woman, every family in this place today. That we would not be lured away and be in the place of drunkenness on immorality. But the God, that we would begin to walk in your righteousness. God, I ask that you would raise up an army of counselors and men and women that can rightly steward and lead, especially those that are coming into the faith and those that have been in the faith for a long time. Lead them into a place of truth so that they can be free and walk in the fullness of their destiny with you. God, I get a sense that you're raising up an army. So prepare us and help us and equip us. That we would seek first your kingdom. That we would be a kingdom-minded people. And God, we would establish that place of your presence through a worship and prayer. That pool of Bethesda, that healing pool, will be here in this place. And it will increase in these days and go out to the nations, God. God, today, help every man and woman to stand in the promise that you have for them. And if they have a problem right now, you have a provision for it. Thank you, God, for these wonderful, wonderful people that love you, that are seeking you. That's why they're here today. Just take a moment here and just... Holy Spirit, I just feel like the Holy Spirit's just touching a few of you right now. Just keep your hands open. Just yes, God. Yes, God. Let the river flow, God. Let the river flow. Yes, God. Let the river flow. The river of your love, the river of your presence, God. Bless you in all that you do this day and from this day forward. Lord, I ask that you visit them in the night seasons with dreams and visions. I ask, God, that in me and all of us here, that we would increase in the desire to choose you, to choose the narrow road, the road of truth and peace. God, let everyone in this room know where where they're going. Any road can't take them there, only the road with you. So bless them today and bless them during this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray.